Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 16th China Fahui on the Minghui website, entitled, Master is Always There to Help Me, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China.
China Fahui, Master is Always There to Help Me, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. I began practicing Falun Dafa in 1999. I had just begun reading John Falun when the persecution started. Despite the intense pressure, I did not give up the practice. I simply regarded whatever the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, said as lies. Master encourages me. A practitioner whom I had only met once or twice came to visit me in 2002. She told me she'd gone to Tiananmen Square to validate the Fa. I asked what she meant by validating the Fa. She replied that holding a banner and shouting, Falun Dafa is wonderful. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good, is validating the Fa. She inspired me. I wanted to go to Tiananmen Square too. I went to Beijing with my daughter in October of 2002. I fell asleep on the bus. When we were nearly at Tiananmen Square, I heard a voice say, Wake up! Aren't you here to tell people Falun Dafa is good? I opened my eyes and, sure enough, we had arrived. As I pondered what to do, Master Li's words came to my mind. Quote, If a cultivator can let go of the thought of life and death under any circumstance, evil is sure to be afraid of him. If every student is able to do this, evil will of itself no longer exist. All of you are already aware of the principle of mutual generation and mutual inhibition. If you are not afraid, the factor that would make you afraid will cease to exist. This is not to be self-imposed, but is achieved by truly and calmly letting go of it. End quote. Eliminate Your Last Attachments, Essentials for Further Advancement, Volume 2. At the moment, I saw Master's Law Body sitting on the gate at Tiananmen Square. I shouted with all my might, Falun Dafa is great, and so is truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. I wanted to tell everyone how Falun Dafa was being wrongfully slandered and save sentient beings. I began to tell people about the persecution. I first tagged along with other practitioners when they went to neighboring villages to hand out information about Falun Dafa, hang banners, and post messages explaining the facts about Dafa and the persecution. I later moved back to my hometown. The other two local practitioners had been arrested. I lived far from any practitioners. I decided to try to do things on my own. I had two daughters who were still in school. Before I left each day, I prepared meals and told them to warm them up and eat when they got home. I asked Master to take care of the family while I was away, and I set off on my bicycle. I covered several miles and sometimes stayed overnight at my parents' or a relative's home. In the daytime, I rode my bicycle around to familiarize myself with the neighborhoods. At night, I'd head out to drop off pamphlets, hang banners, and stick up messages. Strangely enough, our pig would always be asleep when I returned. When I was home, it misbehaved and destroyed things. I knew Master was looking after things for me. Once I went to stay at my sister's. When I went into her house, I saw people dressed in traditional clothing. One of them said to me, I know who you are in other dimensions. When I looked more closely, they disappeared, and just my sister, mother, and nephew were in the room. I felt that Master was telling me not to be afraid. He was protecting me. I delivered materials to several villages. If I encountered anyone, I sent righteous thoughts so they would not see me. Dogs are common in these rural areas, and when one dog barks, every dog starts barking. I sent righteous thoughts for them to keep quiet. One time, I saw a police car on my way home. I hid in a ditch. I asked Master to help me. After they left, I climbed up with my bicycle and quickly left. I used to be an extremely timid person and never even walked alone at night. In order to fulfill my mission of saving sentient beings, I overcame my fear. I did things on my own until 2005. At that time, Master arranged for my mother and another practitioner to join me. Later, two other practitioners came and we divided the work. They took care of the area they lived in, while I covered villages closer to where I stayed. With the help of practitioners in other cities, I learned to produce informational materials and pass the skills on to other practitioners in turn. When necessary, we would get together to work on bigger projects. There is a memorial hall in my town, and the former CCP head once came to visit it. Working together, we hung many banners in prominent places in the surrounding hills. There was only one small, narrow path leading to the peak of one of the hills. It was a difficult climb even during the day. We went up at night and hung the banners neatly. It was a majestic sight. On the way back, we posted messages and hung more banners. At popular rest areas, we left information for people to take. One night, it was very dark, and I was trying to hang a banner on a tree. I climbed onto a practitioner's shoulders and told the tree, "I want to hang this banner on you to save people. Please help me." I suddenly noticed a branch right in front of me. It was truly a miracle. That night, I had to walk a long way to get home. I had to pass through several cemeteries, and the flower wreaths on the new tombs appeared especially striking in the dark. I was very scared. Every time, I would recite one of Master's poems to boost my courage. Another time, we hung a banner on a tree next to a busy area. Many people going up the mountain and in the town could see it. The head of the police station noticed the banner and said, "Look at this huge banner about Falun Dafa. This practice cannot be eradicated." No matter how the men tried, they could not take down the banner we two women had hung. The banner stayed there for several months. We hang banners about Falun Dafa in the highest spot in town on politically sensitive days. We also continue to produce materials that clarify the facts about Falun Dafa in order to save people. Master saved me. Around 15 police officers broke into my home on July 26, 2007, just as my daughter and I were going to bed. They ransacked the place, took my computer and brochures on Falun Dafa, and arrested me. They treated me so terribly that I passed out and had to be taken to the hospital. I was then transferred to the detention center. My daughters came to the police station to ask for my release. The police treated them roughly and threatened to arrest them. They also refused to let my family see me. Through my third eye, I saw monsters surrounding me and persecuting me. I recalled Master's poem and was reminded to act with righteous thoughts. I climbed to a high spot at mealtime and shouted, "Falun Dafa is good. Release me unconditionally." For the next 5 days during mealtimes, I shouted, "Falun Dafa is good." The monsters disappeared. I refused to eat for 4 days. On the fifth day, 12 large men brutally force-fed me and gave me unknown drugs. When I told them about Falun Dafa, they laughed at me. I asked Master to save me. When I shut my eyes, I saw I was a 3-year-old girl. Master carefully lifted me and took me to a giant waterfall. He set me down and I played in the water. Later, he took me to see heavenly fairies and guardians. Then he brought me back to earth. I told Master, "I don't want to go back," that it was too terrible in the human world. Master told me that I had to go back and fulfill my mission. Here in the human world, I lost consciousness several times. The pain from being force-fed made me cry out, and everyone heard me scream. On the eighth day, several police officers carried me into a car and took me to a forced labor camp where I was to be held for a year and a half. However, the labor camp refused to take me due to my precarious condition. I was taken somewhere else, but again, they refused to admit me. I was released in the end. I recovered within a few days by doing the exercises and reading the Fa at home. I resumed clarifying the truth. Clarifying the truth to guards and inmates. I was arrested, tortured, and sent to a forced labor camp in 2010. Every day I had to get up at 5 a.m. and stand until 11 p.m. If I still refused to give up my belief, the guards made me stand until midnight. The torture made my legs swell. My back hurt terribly. I had difficulty when I went to the toilet. My heart rate increased. I was nauseous and vomited. Despite my condition, I had to recite the labor camp rules and was chastised if I did not. One day, several practitioners decided to shout, "Falun Dafa is good," during early morning exercises when there were many people around. I waited until after the exercises were over, and yet no practitioner dared to make a move. I saw everyone heading to the canteen for breakfast. I knew the opportunity would be lost if I did not act quickly. I shouted, "Falun Dafa is amazing." A guard was going to hit me, but the head guard stopped her. The head guard asked me, "Do you know where you are?" I said, "I did this because I saw you were on duty today. You are a kind person, and I wanted to tell you the truth about Falun Dafa." She listened and then said, "But it's my job to stop you. What should I do?" I asked her to treat practitioners with kindness. She found a seat for me in the canteen and said, "Let her finish eating." She also arranged for me to be in the same room with the other practitioners. On another occasion, I refused to follow orders, and a prisoner, who was instructed to monitor me, pushed me so hard I hit the wall and fell to the ground. A bump appeared on my head, and I could not stand straight or walk. The prisoner who pushed me was due to be released. She had been misled by the CCP's anti-Falun Gong propaganda, and that's why she followed orders to torment practitioners. I knew I had to tell her the truth about Falun Dafa. I went to the head guard and said, "I heard this prisoner will soon be released. She's responsible for my injuries." The head guard hit the table and glared at me. "What do you want to do about it?" I calmly replied, "I was healthy before I was locked up. Now I can barely stand up. I'm an honest and decent person. It's not wrong to follow the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Nor is it wrong for me to practice Falun Dafa." The head guard's anger subsided, and she summoned the prisoner who pushed me. She said, "Let's hear what you have to say." I explained to them what Falun Dafa is and how people benefit from practicing it. I also detailed the communist regime's illegal persecution. I told the prisoner who helped to persecute me, "I hope you will treat people kindly. Remember that those who practice Falun Dafa are good people." From that day on, the other inmates stopped bothering me. I was released from the labor camp on September the 2nd, 2011. The guard told my husband, "We won't ask your wife to sign any statements promising to give up her faith because we know it's just a waste of time." Clarifying the truth in a new environment. I moved to a big city in November 2012. I went back to my old place twice to get pamphlets to give out. In December, I got in touch with practitioners in my new city. They helped me set up a materials production site in 2013. I began to hand out information about Falun Dafa in morning markets, outside supermarkets, and in front of shops. I had no job and relied on my husband and children. My youngest daughter was still pursuing her postgraduate studies, and money was tight. I bought the cheapest vegetables when I was home alone. I cooked delicious food when my husband and daughters came home. I used the money my children gave me to buy supplies to produce information about Fallendafa. I even sold my jewelry and used the money for pamphlets. Since I was in charge of the family's finances, things worked out well, and my family was not affected by the work I did for Fallendafa. At the moment, things are going well, and I can walk steadily on my cultivation path. Master emphasized the importance of saving people in his recent lectures, and that time is pressing. Like other practitioners, I arrange my time appropriately so that I can go out to tell people the truth about Fallendafa and awaken their conscience with compassion.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.